blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. And from the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. Sorry, that should be number 2. None can stand unscathed and blameless. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 365.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in 1 Kings chapter 20. But before that, we make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Kings 20, the first 34 verses. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots, and he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also, and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, and all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, Let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And it came to pass, when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, Set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings and the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, There are men come out of Samaria. And he said, Whether they be come out for peace, take them alive, or whether they come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on an horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they are stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. And number thee an army, like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. And we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went out against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in 1 day. But the rest fled to Aphek into the city, and there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left, and Ben-Hadad fled, and came into the city, into an inner chamber. And his servant said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure he will save thy life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. Then he said, Go ye, bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from thy father I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant with him and sent him away. Thus far, scripture reading. Let us read now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The form for the administration of baptism, the principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal, an undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received into grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testified with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant, and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism has come in the place of circumcision. Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family. And thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God, to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet and that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Anchor? Father and Mother Busicum. Father and Mother Brom. Father and Mother Oscom. Father and Mother Van Driesten. Father and Mother Van Hagenbos. Father and Mother Van Wyck. Father and Mother Wessels. Dear parents, we have just read about Ahab, and standing before Ahab was a great multitude of people, much greater than his own army. And that army of Ahab was really no match for the army that was standing against them. Ahab did not love the Lord. Ahab did not serve the Lord. Ahab was a wicked man. And yet we read that the Lord sent a prophet to Ahab, that he spoke to Ahab his own word. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Why did the Lord send a prophet unto Ahab? When Ahab did not love the Lord. We just heard that the Lord says, Ye shall know that I am the Lord. How good the Lord was to Ahab. There are many ways that the Lord could have shown Ahab that he was the Lord. He could have cut Ahab off in one moment. And Ahab would have known that he was the Lord. But instead, he will deliver Ahab. And so he will let him know that he is the Lord. Was the Lord not good to Ahab? Is the Lord not good to us? Teach this to your children. The goodness of the Lord, because we read here in the second place, because the Syrians have said that the Lord is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. Therefore, will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand. How different that the Lord has dealt with Ben-Hadad and Ahab. The Lord will also show Ben-Hadad that he is the Lord. Because he says that the God of the hills is not the God of the valleys. Thus the Lord says, That is my own name, and I will show to him who I am. And yet it was in such a different way. And Ahab and Ben-Hadad, they were both wicked men. In their hearts, they were the same. What now distinguished those two men? That the Lord dealt with the one in this way, and the Lord dealt with the other in that way. The difference was Ahab was circumcised. Ahab was numbered among his own people. And what a great difference, what a great significance there is than for those who are circumcised, for those who are baptized? Will you teach this to your children? Because the Lord is dealing with us in His goodness in so many ways, in order that He may draw that people that are baptized, that He may draw their hearts. Did not help Ahab. He was circumcised, and he had more to give an account of than did Ben-Hadad. Then it is worse for Ahab now than it ever will be for Ben-Hadad. Will you teach this to your children, that the Lord may give to you and to your children that desire, that you may receive the substance of that which is contained in this baptism, in that circumcision, because we have heard it is all one. It is all one covenant, that we would not then be satisfied, but that the responsibility may drive us unto Him, who alone is able to incorporate us and our children into that covenant. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 49, stanza 3. Both rich and poor, both bond and free, shall worship Him with bended knee. And children's children shall proclaim the glorious honor of His name. The third stanza of Psalter 49. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5. Ava to kneel, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Camille Marie, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Malin Henny, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Nicholas Cornell, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Addison Grace, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Kyle Benjamin.
Kyle Benjamin, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Marilee Janae, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Carmen Mariah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, and the one only true God. Strengthen these parents in that most holy duty that Thou layest upon their shoulders, that they may bow their knees each day before Thee, that they may not be able to do it in their own strength, and that they may experience that Thou art the God of the covenant, and that they are not able to convert their children, and that they may experience that Thou art the God of all grace. Remember grandparents, great-grandparents, relatives, and families, for they also may see in this day one of their own seed, one of their own family, that is brought in unto that outward church, to be made a member thereof. Oh, that they may be given a thankful heart when they may behold their seed brought in unto the church of God, but that it may give also a work at the throne of grace, and that it may never testify against them and us together. Wilt Thou give the matters of eternity to be bound continually upon the heart of each and every one of us? And when we may read also what our fathers have written, what is all contained in this baptism, then we may stand in awe that Thou givest unto Thy church such great benefits. Oh, that we may be made wholly jealous after the blessed portion which belongeth unto Thy people, that Thy church also may be edified under Thy holy sacrament, for Thou knowest who are Thine, and Thou dost continue to build Thy church even until the end of this world. Oh, that the guilty also may see and may receive a little hope, that they also may be forgiven, washed, and cleansed, and reconciled unto a Most High God. Oh, look Thou upon us also in this hour. Give us a good hour in Thy favor under Thy holy word, forgiving all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 115, stanzas 2 and 3. O Lord, my God, o'erwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest, to thee I lift my soul. And what follows, 2 and 3 of Psalter 115. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, 1 Kings 20, and there of the first part of the 33rd verse. 1 Kings 20, verse 33, now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. So far, the words of our text, diligent observation and hasty catching, first by a humbled Ben-Hadad, second by a humbled church. Diligent observation and hasty catching by a humbled Ben-Hadad and by a humbled church. Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. That is something, congregation. Is that also heard about us? That is a merciful man. That is a merciful woman. A merciful boy. A merciful girl. That is much more than if it would be said of us. That is a rich man, or that is an intelligent boy. Solomon says that a good name is better than riches. What better name can we have in the midst of this world than that we are a merciful person? Merciful is what the kings of the lands, the nations that are around Israel, they heard that about the kings of Israel. And that was an honor unto the Lord. Why? Because it was a picture of who that the God of Israel was himself. Behold now, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. So the servants of Ben-Hadad say to him, why? What are the circumstances? Well, Ben-Hadad and his servants are in a very great predicament. They are talking, boys and girls, what shall we now do? They have lost the battle with that king of Israel, and that great king, King Ben-Hadad, he has been greatly humbled. That was not a defensive war. It was not that Israel came against them and they had to defend themselves, no. But it was an offensive war. And he has gone out himself. And we can hear with what great pride that he has spoken, thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, and thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine. And when Ahab succumbs, then we can read that that man, he even becomes even more arrogant. We heard that, but it does not turn out so. No, let not him that putteth on his harness boast as he that taketh it off. You know what that means, boys and girls, right? Person who is putting on his harness, that is, that he may begin to fight, if he is already saying beforehand that he is going to win. Oh, then Ahab says, you better not talk so fast. How quickly do you talk, boys and girls? Ben-Hadad had to learn something. It does not turn out so. No, Ben-Hadad, he has boasted too soon. The Lord delivered his people, his covenant people, even though Ahab as a king did not deserve this. The Syrians fled. But Ben-Hadad does not give up. Oh, pride that is very stubborn. Do you not feel that sometimes too? Within your own breast, pride does not just want to go away. Their gods are the gods of the hills, but they are not the gods of the valleys. And so we read that they come up to Aphek at the return of the year. And they come up with great human power. They come up with a great multitude of people. And Israel, we read, they are pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. They are completely outnumbered. What is going to happen in that battle? When we look at the way that things normally go in this world, then there is only one outcome that can possibly happen. And then any man is able to predict when they see the great power on the one side and the very little power on the other side, what is going to happen in this battle. But it does not turn out so. The Syrians are defeated. 100,000 men are slain. The rest flee to Aphek. And then it becomes evident who is fighting for Israel. And when a wall falls on 27,000 men, who are left? Thus it is the Lord who is fighting for his covenant people. Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Ben-Hadad sits in an inner chamber. Around him are all of his servants after they are forced to flee unto the city of Aphek. What do they do now? Because they are yet being pursued, and they are next, as it were, to be taken. So they are soon going to be overcome. Soon also their own lives will be lost. Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Who is speaking? It is the servants. The servants of Ben-Hadad. Do you remember, children, the servants of the proud captain Naaman, the Syrian, the leper? Do you remember the servants and what they said to that proud captain? Servants, they can sometimes see it so much better than kings. Why is that? Well, because those servants, they are a little bit closer to the ground. Oh, then they are not so heady. They are a little bit more humble. Oh, how close are we unto the ground? What do those servants say unto the king? They say, O king, let us humble ourselves. And his servants said unto him, behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins and ropes upon our heads and go out to the king of Israel. Peradventure, he will save thy life. Maybe. Then there is in their heart a little bit of hope. Just when it is come, as it were, to the very end, when there is nothing else that they are able to do, Ben-Hadad agrees. So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads, and came to the king of Israel and said, thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. What a different Ben-Hadad. Solomon says, pride cometh before a fall. A haughty spirit that comes before a fall. That is what Ben-Hadad had to experience. Did we also ever experience the same? Then we see how it can be in an outward way, but that it is not always necessarily also in an inward way. And still, we see several times in God's word, also in the life of Ahab himself, what it means when a man, even in an outward way, when he will humble himself and what the Lord is willing to work. See Ben-Hadad standing before King Ahab, if indeed it was him, and not only his servants, but then it is all one and the same. Sackcloth upon their loins, and ropes upon their heads. What does that signify? A rope around their neck. You know what that means? That means they are making a confession. They're saying, we do not deserve to live. We deserve to be punished. We deserve to die. And it is true, they did. Because Ben-Hadad was indeed a very wicked man. Ben-Hadad was a man who hated God. Ben-Hadad was a man who hated the people of the Lord. We read of Ben-Hadad afterwards that it was a man that the Lord himself had appointed to utter destruction. How was it that Ben-Hadad dared? That he actually dared to come and to stand before Ahab. Well, we heard it. We have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. That is the only reason that he dares in his guilt, in his unworthiness, to come and to stand before Ahab. You remember King Saul, right, boys and girls? King Saul. You remember how he died? He fell on his own sword. Why? Why did not King Saul do the same? Why did he not go unto the kings of the Philistines and ask them if they will save his life? Do you know why? Because they had never heard of the kings of the Philistines, that they were merciful kings. They had never heard that. And therefore, there was no hope. Therefore, King Saul, he says to his armor bearer, slay me, lest my enemies come and they abuse me, that they laugh at me, that they mock me, that they torture me, and that they kill me. Mercy. That is now the hope of Ben-Hadad in his guilt. Mercy from the king of Israel when he had fought against him in his great pride. See him standing there. I pray thee, let me live. He pleads for his life. Oh, his life that is in the very hands of King Ahab. And Ben-Hadad is waiting. He is waiting anxiously. What is now the king of Israel going to say? What does our text say? Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. Can you understand these men? Their lives, they are now depending on what is coming from King Ahab. Is Ahab still angry? Is he angry also when we have humbled ourselves? Did Ahab now accept our confession? When we have come now with ropes about our necks, saying that we are worthy to die, that we are his servants. Oh, it means so much. Yes, actually, it means everything, because it is for Ben-Hadad and his servants a matter of life and death. Thus, their ears, they are open. They are listening for just what he is going to say. And their eyes, they are open. And they are looking for what? Oh, they are looking for a little indication. What is now lying in the heart of that king? Is it indeed true, as we have heard, that the kings of Israel are merciful kings? Oh, when they would see. When they would see on the countenance of Ahab that there was something wrong. Oh, they are looking. Will it be a frown? Will it be a smile? Oh, when there was just something in his countenance that would say to them, I think, that he is still angry. Oh, then how these men, all their lives, they are depending on this answer of King Ahab. How their knees, they will begin to tremble. How the sweat that will break forth from them. But if they may only perceive something, or if they may see a little thing, if they may hear the smallest thing, by which they may say, maybe yet. Maybe yet it is possible that we live. Oh, do you understand these people that are standing before King Ahab? Are there also not those who are standing in such a way also in our days? We see that in our second thought. Diligent observation and a hasty catching by a humble church. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him and did hastily catch it. Are there people also in the church today who are doing now the same as Ben-Hadad and his company? What does it mean to us? The favor of the Lord or the disfavor of the Lord? What does that mean to us? Indeed, by nature, it means nothing. We go all the week. We are not looking for it, and we are not caring for it. Historical faith can sit under the preaching of the gospel. But how does it sit there? It sits there as one who is dead. It sits there under the preaching of heaven and under the preaching of hell, and there is no movement. There is no movement of the heart. Reverend Kersten said, it is like a fake flower. It appears very beautiful, but there is no life. There is no smell. There is nothing that is coming forth from this fake flower. But now the moment that life is born in the heart of a man, how different that it becomes. Because it is in that very moment that it begins to mean something for us. Whether there is favor from the Lord or whether there is disfavor, then it is not that it means only something. Then it begins actually to mean everything for us. Because actually then it becomes for us a matter of life and of death. Saul of Tarsus was just born. Just born. He is not even farmers. He is not even standing up yet on his feet. Like that little calf, still laying yet on the ground. He is just born. And what do we hear him saying? While he is still laying there on the ground, O Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There we have it. The first effects, the first fruits of that new life. With a desire to please, with a desire to walk in that way of the Lord. Remember me, O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. What did David want there? He said, remember me, O Lord. Thou bearest favor unto thy people, that is them. But what about me? That is such a personal thing. And in that new birth, and then it is this need that is born. It is the need for God, for the favor of God. What do you think? Can a man know that? Can a man know something of the favor or the disfavor of the Lord for his own life? What would you say, young people? How could a person know that? We have the Bible, but we all have the Bible. Do you know what we read about Jacob? We read that Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, he said, it was not toward him as it was before. Does Jacob notice something? Or you may notice that also, husbands, wives, children, do you notice that? Does anything need to be said sometimes by father, by mother? Sometimes nothing needs to be said, but you feel something. What do you feel? You feel that there is a certain displeasure. You feel that the countenance of your father, of your mother, that is not toward you as it was before. Why can you feel that? How is it that you feel that? Well, because there is a relation. And you know what it means for that relation to be good. And you also know what it means when that relation is not so good. And how is it then that God's children would not be able to tell something? Is there not a relation between God and their soul? How is it then that we'd say that they are not able to tell something of the disfavor, of the displeasure of the Lord in their life. How is the favor of the Lord known? How is the favor of the Lord experienced? It is by communion. It is by the hearing of His voice. And when that is not there, then you can be sure that there is a pain in their heart. Do you know what the bride said? She said, "I sought Him, but I found Him not." What does it mean? Solomon, Christ, He was not there physically upon the earth, no. But there was a difference between finding and not finding. You know what that bride said to those daughters of Jerusalem? If you find Him, if you find Him, then tell Him something from me, because I cannot find Him. Tell Him, though, that I am sick of love. What did the bride say later? She said, "I found Him. I would not let Him go until I brought Him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me." Say, can a man know something of the favor and the disfavor of the Lord in a subjective way in his own heart? Let us sing Psalter 240, stanzas 2 and 4. Thou hast brought me down to darkness. Neath thy wrath I am oppressed. All the billows of affliction overwhelm my soul distressed. 2 and 4 of Psalter 240. Thank you. Now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. Who are these? These are men who have been greatly humbled. They are come with sackcloth upon their loins and ropes about their heads. Guilt knows what it is worthy of. You do not need to explain that, because it is living in the conscience, and that is of all mankind. And yet, not all men are given to come in the same true confession before the Lord. And yet, it is necessary. That is not experienced by the entire church in the same way. We think about Manasseh or Saul of Tarsus, and then it was very different. Or Obadiah or Timothy. No, it is not all the same. I would like to read to you a moment what Thomas Shepherd writes. He says, I saw in my prayer that my great sin was my continual separation, distance from God, lying out in a loose spirit from God. Not, he says, so much as this or that particular sin. Lying out in a loose spirit from God. What did he see? He saw not merely this or that sin, but he saw that his whole life was sin. He saw that his whole existence was sin. What a pride. Satan did tempt our first parents too in the temptation, and they fell into it, so that they raised themselves up against the Lord the King. That is now the sin of mankind. We will be king ourselves, and the Lord will be subject to us. And our will. Do you know what the Lord knows how to do? He knows how to bring a man with sackcloth on his loins and the ropes about his neck. And you can understand that such a man, when the Lord brings him there, that he becomes a diligent observer. What is he looking for? Oh, he is looking not for something great necessarily. It is a great matter. But the smallest thing, the smallest token that they can perceive, that the Lord is no longer angry. What makes such a man dare even to hope for such a thing when he feels his unworthiness, when he feels his guilt? Behold now, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. That is now the only reason. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. There is something of this. When does that come in the life of God's people? Do you know where it comes in the life of God's people? It comes in the day of their birth. In the day of that new birth. Even amidst the greatest convictions of sin that a person can have. Because the Lord leads to an impossibility from His own side. But there is always in the life of their people continually a diligent observing whether anything will now come from Him that is never gone. It is never gone. Total hopelessness is a total despair. That is the work of the devil. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. It is true, there is a great difference in the sense, in the clarity of that perception of mercy. There is a difference in one than the other, but it is hidden there. It is hidden there in the root. It is hidden there in that foundation. Sometimes it is said there are progressions in the life of God's children. First, it is me. And then it is me and God. And then it is God and me. And finally, it is God alone. Or do you see the progression? It is a progression in the need for mercy. That is there already actually in the very, very beginning, although they cannot see that so clearly. But all along, a diligent observing whether anything will come from Him that they may hastily catch it. And indeed there are tokens. There are tokens that are given in the life of that people. Think about the brothers of Joseph. Joseph gave them tokens. Oh, they perceived that he was angry. Yes, those people see that too. That the Lord is angry. It doesn't go outside of that. But there is much more. Did not Joseph bring those brothers in to dine with him? Ask God's children. Do they never experience that? When they say the Lord is angry, when they feel something of that displeasure, whether that there are not yet times that the Lord brings them in His house, and that the Lord gives them to dine with Him, that they may receive just a little token. Oh, do you not think that the brothers were diligently observing? Do you not think that those brothers did hastily catch it? Joseph puts them all in order, everyone by their age. What do you think, children? Do you think those brothers did not diligently observe what happened there? How is that now for those people that come up sometimes? And when the Lord, he may give them a little something to eat in his house. And the Lord may just show to them that they may be so sure in that moment that the Lord knows who they are. Did the Lord ever give you to know that he knows of you? Were those brothers in that moment ready to go back to their father and to say, "Father, Joseph is alive"? No, they didn't know that. It was all so strange. He is angry. And yet, little tokens, a little eating, a little drinking, here and there, that the Lord gives me to feel something, that he is not a complete stranger unto me. But where is he leading those brothers? He is leading those brothers into this place here. He is leading those brothers that they will come. They will come yet with ropes about their neck. That is the place where those brothers, they will be looking. They will be watching. They will be diligently observing whether anything is now coming from him. Were they disappointed? No, they were not disappointed. None will be disappointed who wait for him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou didst declare that thou art the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Remember those who thou hast given to desire thee, who do diligently observe, who do diligently look, who do desire a little token, once again, who go away disappointed when there is nothing, and when they cannot feel something of thy countenance toward them. That thou wouldst feed them, Lord, that thou wouldst grant them a little token out of thy a heavenly store. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Help thou us each one in the week to come. Spare us from sudden and unprepared deaths. Care for the afflicted, those that are very sick. Thou knowest their place. Those that may travel, care for each and every one in our circumstances, and grant thy blessing upon thy holy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 90, stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 6. 2, 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 90. Magnify in the Lord with me. Let us to praise his name agree. I sought the Lord, he answered me, and from my fears he set me free. 2, 3, and 4, 2, 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 90.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.